Holy Father, we come before you tonight. Holy Ghost, we need your help. You're our guide, our advocate, our intercessor, our helper, comforter. We call on you tonight, Holy Ghost, to reveal your word to us. Lord, we thank you that we're going from faith to faith and glory tonight. Lord, we're changed because of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I am enjoying the one-year Bible. I mean, I like that. It's really good, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's really good. And I don't normally read that translation just straight through, so it's really kind of like, oh, that's interesting, that's interesting. I'm just an old King James guy, but I love the new translation, or the different translation, that I don't normally read. So it's really interesting, and some of the things, the way it's phrased, like that's, I like that. So tonight, I want to talk about faith as leaning on the Lord, you know, and well, just turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, while you're turning there. There are two kingdoms right now that are currently at war. The kingdom of God, and there's a kingdom of darkness. And the enemy wants us to think of lack, disease, depression, loneliness, and hopelessness are the norm. That's the world standard, but that's not true, okay? I was interested, and I thought, you know, I was just kind of thinking about things, and I thought, you know, while you're turning to Proverbs chapter 3, and I thought, you know, I want to look at the things that bothered people in the 1940s, and I want to look at the things that bothered people in the 1980s, and I want to look at and find out what the topic of the day is today. And you know, the interesting thing is, let's look at it, 1940s, guess what they're concerned about? The Cold War, communism, and nuclear war, right? New technologies. There's this thing called a computer that was just starting to come out, right? In the 40s, right? They just started developing it. And I think ISU, didn't they? Weren't they the ones that developed the first computer? So right up the road. Yay, cyclones. There we go. Yeah. All right. So we got the cyclones there. You know, I think they kind of had a hand in that. There was changes in political power. And there were trade concerns, right? Because we were in the World War II, and then about the mid 40s, we got out of World War II, and then we're trying to get trade and everything going on. 1980s, I kind of like took 40-year, you know, kind of 40-some-year increments. 1980s, what were they? The Berlin Wall, new computer technology, right? Star Wars, remember Reagan and all those Star Wars and satellite warfare and all that stuff, right? AIDS, and then what about the Cold War, USSR. And nuclear war again. Today, what are we concerned about? The economy, AI, technology, right? We're all scared, you know, a lot of people are scared of AI. Political issues, and again, war. You know, I thought it was interesting, and I took some little notes here, and I thought, you know, COVID-19 popped up, and I was kind of doing some studying this morning, and I thought, you know, it's interesting. I took a poll and I measured the poll. They had stats out there. I'm a geek, and so I looked at the stats and it was how many people were concerned about COVID-19 in different time periods. So I went back and I looked at March of 2020. That was kind of the height of the freak out of COVID. The beginning, right? You know, remember those days? No toilet paper, you know, all that stuff, right? You know, it was like gold. You know, I felt like I was, you know, the Soviet Union or something. It was like, I'll barter you for toilet paper. It was a weird time, wasn't it? But you realize that 60% of people in March of 2020 that was their main concern. I mean, that was a huge concern for them, right? Last month, 3% of people were concerned about COVID, right? Yeah, still, right? So, and when you go through the stores, you'll see who they are, right? Okay, all right, they're really apparent. You can definitely see them, okay? And God bless them, you know. But what are we looking at here? What's the difference? Is because number one, it's things that were pumped into our homes, and that's the agenda. And guess what? The things we feed on rules us, right? What was that? Remember back a few years ago when COVID was in full swing and everything, and everybody was I remember, what was it like? I think it was January, and then I left and was like working from home permanently like in March, I think. I was like one of the last people out of the office. I felt like I was like the last chopper out of Vietnam, you know? Like, I'm looking around and there's nobody else in their offices, and I'm like the only one in my office, and there's like nobody here, and I'm thinking, this is creepy, right? And so I remember the last day I got it, and they're like, here's a couple of, you know, big screen monitors, and, you know, because we use them at work. And I'm like, okay, great. So I felt like I was the last, it was the last chopper out of Vietnam. And, you know, people, I mean, you just thought you had COVID, you're going to die. You remember that? You know, it was almost kind of like this, all like, oh, it was on the news. So-and-so's got COVID. And it was almost like a death sentence. And but it wasn't realistic, was it? Now we know some people passed away and some people died. And I'm not making light of that. But what I am saying is this, that the things we feed on will rule us, right? And that's why it kind of goes back to the plug of it's nice to be in the Word every day. Pick up that Bible, you know. And again, it's the consistency that's going to help you, okay? It's the just being in it every day. It just gets your mind renewed with the Word, right? It's not, I don't know, it doesn't take that long. It takes me maybe 10, I don't know, if I'm not reading real fast, just 10 minutes, just kind of reading through it. It doesn't take very long at all. Made on that. But if we look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, and it says, my New Living Translation, okay? All right. New Living Translation. We'll look at verse 1, and it says, my child, never forget the things I have taught you. What are some of the things in the Word always talks about that we see in Joshua 1:8? We see in other places it says, bring back to what your remembrance, right? It's remember these things, remember these things, remember these things. You know, I mean, it's sports. It's like when I was, you know, coaching, and I know Joe coaches, and I know we got other people in here that have coached and done things before, but it's like when I go back, when I'm coaching, all the time it's like the basics. You know what? Get your glove on the ground, right? It's like both hands on the bat, you know? It's kind of like, look where you're throwing, right? Take your, I mean, it's just the basics all the time. Actually, the bat is, you got to swing it to hit the ball, right? The ball doesn't jump on your bat, bounce off your bat. You know, it's the basic things. And what happens is, it's just, I remember just when I played sports, and maybe there'd be a time, a game, I was just struggling and everything. It's because my mindset was off, and I just wasn't getting, I just was not focusing on the basics. And we see in the Word of God, it just says, just focus on the basics. What does that mean? Forget not what I've taught you. Here we go. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years. And your life will be satisfying. Verse 3, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. There's just such a lack of kindness lately, isn't there? And you know, we're in the midst of, you know, and this is so heartbreaking because again, I don't like, you know, Adrian and I were just talking about this the other night, you know, about the lady that got shot in, Minneapolis and everything too. And, you know, I'm thinking, I don't know where she's at, you know, and it's, you know, I know, you know, people are making jokes and laughing about these things, and politics aside, it's just, what about kindness? You know, we don't want to see people die and go to hell or heaven. I don't know where these people are at. I'm not judging that, but I'm just saying too, you know, what about kindness? Now, whether they make mistakes or good or bad or how, I don't know. But the point is it's we've lost kindness, you know, where we can laugh about people getting, you know, shot in the neck or, you know, murdered and all these other things too. We're losing. We're going to look at scripture here too, that Ephesians 4, 18 and 19. Now, keep your hand in Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to bounce back and forth. But the point is, we need to have kindness, don't we? Right? And Ephesians 4, 18 and 19 says, their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because what they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. That's it. This is an epidemic, I'm telling you what right now. How many people are open-minded lately? You see, right? About just about anything. It's like we're more, now I want to be solidified in the Word of God and unchangeable, but then it goes on, it says, they have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. And again, it's coming back to compassion for people, right? Because, you know, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3. Anything in the Word that, you know, tells us is whether it's going to be compassion for people, love, these things, like, you know, it's not just for them, it's for us, right? I mean, I forgive people not for them, of course for them, but it's for me, right? Because I want to have a clean heart. I want to go, you know what? I don't really want to hold things against people. And there's just some people, they don't, you know, it doesn't matter how many, what you do, what you say, they won't like you because of what you stand for. Or, you know, because Jesus didn't please everybody. He didn't do it. It just didn't happen. Back to Proverbs chapter 3, 3 says, tie them around you, talking about these things the Lord has given us. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep in your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people. You ever notice too in, I believe it's Mark, in the book of Mark, chapter 4, it says, and Jesus was in the temple when he was 12 years old and he came out, and then it says specifically in the book of Mark that he had favor with God and with man, right? And so we continue to read here. It says, verse 4, then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Verse 5, I love this part. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not depend on your own understanding. This is so hard. It is so difficult. And it's just so great because remember, we're this week, last few weeks, we've been reading about, we're still in, if you're, you know, following your Bible reading, we're talking about Abraham, right? And how many times it's like he's taking Isaac up and God just saying, okay, I need you to go up here and, you know, sacrifice your son, and he just does it, right? Just it is mind-boggling because he's thinking to himself, wait a minute, I had to wait, I'm 100 years, and I just got this kid, and now you're wanting me to sacrifice him. But he says, okay. And you notice too, at the beginning, earlier this, we were reading in Genesis, it specifically says, God says, obey all the commandments. Basically, he says, do what I tell you to do. He says, you need to be circumcised, all the men. And then do this commandment. Do obey the covenant. And why did Abraham have... Abraham was not... You know, you look at Abraham's life and you read things just this past week and you see that he obeyed God and he was extremely humble. Right? Because we just read today about Sarah passing away. Right? Remember that? Okay. And what did he do? He went and asked to... He was in a foreign land at that time. And it was with the Canaanites. And what did he do? He went and asked them to buy the land. And they had so much favor with them. They said, no, we want to give it to you. And he said, no. And he was so humble. And we see all the time he was humble when, you know, when the Lord came and the angels came to his house to tell him about Sodom and Gomorrah. He was humble. So we see that, I mean, Abraham had all of these qualities that we're reading about in Proverbs chapter 3, right? He was obedient and he was humble. And so, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. How many people in the Bible did what God told them to do and it didn't make sense, right? Yeah. When you come up to a Red Sea and it splits in half, that does not make any sense, right? When Naaman was told to go dip in the Jordan, you know, Elijah told him, dip in the Jordan seven times. He's like, that is a filthy river. I am somebody. You don't tell me to do this and blah, blah, blah. You didn't even come to the door to tell me. You didn't. I'm somebody. You didn't even show up. You know, see, it's pride. But you know what? God still had mercy on somebody that's full of pride and thought they were a big wheel and still healed them. That's how merciful God is. Verse 6, seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. You know, I remember just being younger and, you know, full of beans and not a lot of wisdom and everything, and sometimes you think, I'm going to do this, I'm going to figure it out, and it's going to be great and everything else too. And the older I get, I'm thinking, you know what? God knows a whole lot more than me, and I just need to kind of rest in Him more, and He's going to work things out. Because I want things done 5 minutes ago, right? And God's like, it's going to get done when I get done, right? Adrian just loves it. This is our favorite time of the day, supper time. She loves it when I come along and ask her, what's for supper? When's it going to be done? It's going to be done when it's done, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be done when it's done. And God's like, I'm going to do it when I do it.
It will be whatever it's
going to
be.
That's right. So it's just, we have spirited conversations about this at night, you know? So, right? So, you know, I have a simple question of like, hey, you know, what are we going to have for supper tonight? And then it's like, it's going to get done when it gets done. And then God's like, it's going to happen the way it's going to happen. It's going to get done when it gets done. And, you know, we don't want to hear those kind of things, right? We want to figure it out. We want to have our hand on the pulse. We want to have our hand on the easy button to just all work out and just perfect and everything wonderful. And we cannot lean into our understanding. Verse 7, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Oh, this hurts. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Turn away from evil. I just remember, have you ever been down there at the Creation Museum and seen the Ark exhibit in, was it Tennessee or whatever? Oh, you got to get there. Okay, I know. Yes. It's awesome. And one of the videos, we were in there, it's like they're at the Ark, and then they got, it was really cool because when you drive back there, you all got to go, okay? It's not a suggestion. You have to. It's like required reading. You got to do it, guys. It's so cool. It really builds your faith. It did me, because I just thought, this is an amazing just marvel of God that He gave this understanding of the Ark. And I've talked about it before, but it's really cool because it's just a replica of the whole thing. It just really how much thought it went into. And, you know, you actually read there about Noah, and the Lord, it actually goes into a little bit of detail, the three layers and what it's made out of, and, you know, giving Noah some instruction there. But one of these videos that really struck me one time was this, person that was, they were talking about creationism, and then they were talking with this scientist that was all into evolution, and they were talking with her, they're interviewing this professor, and you could tell she just got angry. Like, there was just anger there, you know? Just talking, I'm just so annoyed with it. Why? Because she relies on her own understanding. You know? And there's that pride there, and it just, we can't humble ourselves, and that's what happens is, when you try to figure everything out, it's not going to work out in the end. And God did give us gray matter, you know, between our ears to use it. We want to, you know, from all education, learn things. Those are wonderful things. But when we rely on it too much and we leave God out, then we can get in trouble. I've been there before. I know none of you have, but I've missed it, right? Romans 1. Why I talk so much about often is our thinking and our getting our and getting into the Word and everything else too, because the warfare is in our mind. The warfare is in our mind, right? That's where everything begins. Sin begins in your mind. Everything begins in our thought process. It's not that you can't do things in life or anything else. It's your thought process before you get there, convincing yourself whether you can or can't do it. There are times, well, I'll quote, pull up Philippians chapter 4, says, I can do all things through Christ, right? Like, I have to talk to myself, just like Mr. Gray was talking about. Like, there will be times I'll read a scripture and I'll have to talk to myself, right? There have been times, too, where I've been at places in my life and I told Adrian, I'm like, Adrian, just speak this over me. Because sometimes I need to hear somebody say it over me, right? I'll say, quote the scripture over me. You say it over me. You say it over me. Because sometimes in life or something, I'm dealing with something, it's like I need the word from an outside source to be spoken on me. That's, I know that sounds crazy, but it's like my mind, right? The devil attacks your mind. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, forever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. This is so true. And in science, they refer to it as intelligent design, right? Everything we see patterns and things where there's a creator, there's a pattern, there's intelligent design in everything. But yes, verse 21, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks, right? It all comes back to their thinking, their attitude towards God, and they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. See, this all begins with not taking thought into who God is, who he is. Claiming to be wise, here we go, they instead became utter fools. I mean, it's just you. I remember just, you know, being in school and stuff and just some of the most ridiculous things I'd read, and I'm thinking, okay, I guess I'm, as far as like answers and things like this, is just kind of ridiculous. But see, we get to a point so much that we're checked out. And so we see here, claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worship idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. I remember, I believe it's in Ezekiel, I can't remember where it's at, I just, off the top of my head, a scripture where they said they take a log, they chop it in half, they burn one half, and then make the other half a god. An idol. Verse 24, so God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things that their hearts desired, and as a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's body. And this all comes back to not focusing on who God is. It's not having that thought process about who God is, right? There's no fear of the Lord. And then what happens is, again, they begin to have, they begin to drift off. I just remember, you know, years ago, I was in, you know, youth group, and just one of the churches that I was in, and I wasn't really, I love God, but I didn't have an understanding of really too much of anything. And so, you know, I kind of backslid and everything else too, but you're looking at things where when I was younger, the truths, or even Adrian and I were in a Bible school, and even some of the people that I went to Bible, you know, different Bible schools with, they're not even serving God anymore. You know, I used to be a manager over at Hy-Vee in Johnston years ago when we first moved back. And one of the guys that was a manager at night, managed night stock, I was just kind of talking with him. And we were talking about different things. Is where'd you come from? And we were just chatting. One time we were just standing there talking, and he said, I told him, you know, I got back from Tulsa with Bible college. He goes, oh, a Bible college. And I thought, this guy's not going to know, you know, Rhema, you know. I said, oh, you know, school called Rhema, and everything. He goes, oh, yeah, I know Rhema. I said, really? And he says, yeah. He says, my mom went there, and she was the charter class, like the very first class in 74. And I said, really? I said, what's she doing now? Oh, she's into the occult. Right? Yeah. Yeah. See, the thing is, she was experienced the supernatural move of God and that let her whistle, and she liked it, but she was more addicted to the spirituality and not God. See, she wanted the experience, but just, you know, God is kind of, you know, optional at this point, right? And so what happens is the revelation that she got there, and I remember just listening to the instructors at Rhema, because we had, well, Adrian and I sat under, Mark Brzee and Doug Jones. They were in the charter class too, and just some of the amazing things that happened there. But see how, you know, you can have that experience and then walk away from God and completely ditch everything. How, I don't know. I've so many people over the years that they've turned back on God because of disappointment, something happened, and that, well, God must not be real, and this and that, and then they just give up everything. And we told our girls, you don't base your relationship off of what people do around you or even what I do. It is God. He is the one. The word is what we follow, not people. And so we can get off on things, and that's why it's so important. I always point back to the word. The word will change us. The word will change us. You know? I don't base my faith off external situations, and I don't want to base off all these things, right? I mean, can you imagine? I always thought about this because, you know, we, again, going back to our Bible reading, where, you know, Abraham kind of deceived Pharaoh there in Egypt. And I don't know what it is with him and Isaac. It's like, what is going on with you guys? And the whole, like, you know, she's my sister thing. We were just kind of talking about this. Just, I don't get it. It's like, hello. But anyway. But then I think too, because we think our lives sometimes, and I've thought about things in the Word too, like, you know, we think that our lives are like, well, God, things are happening fast enough. Why is this not this and this and this? And I'm thinking, you know, when Abraham deceived Pharaoh, and then the Lord came back and said, the Hebrews will be enslaved for 400 years, basically because of his mistake, right? And I'm thinking, what happens to these people, that the slaves that were like into year 200? And they're believing for deliverance, you know? And then, see, their circumstances are screaming, God's not real, because God isn't coming through for me. And the Bible talks about in Hebrews that there are people who lived and died and didn't see the promise, right? And they still stuck with God. They still, Abraham did not see his, you know, his offspring as far as the sands on the, you know, seashore, or the stars in the sky. He didn't live to see that, but he still had to take God's word for it. And how many times do we see people in the Bible that still counted him faithful? Hello? And they still walk with God. And then sometimes we are like microwave, drive-through, Burger King, your way mentality. We want it now. And then, you know, I remember one time I was, did a funeral and went through one of the drive-thrus at a place. And I sat there for 10 minutes. I'm like, my goodness, 10 minutes in a drive-thru. This is crazy, you know? And I'm thinking, how many people around the world would be happy with a 10-minute, you know, meal? And so again, how, you know, we gauge our faith and whether God's doing something or not on our time frame, right? I remember date myself here. Remember all those magazines you'd have, and then you'd want a t-shirt or something out of it, and you'd rip it out, and then, you know, you'd attach like a money order or a CD or cash, whatever that is, and then you'd, you know, stick it in. I mean, Dwight knows. I mean, he's the mail guy over here, right? But I'm saying he's the post office guy. You know, you put it in those little things they call, you know, like letters, you know, I know. And they're like usually white, and then you stick it in there, and then you have to lick it. You know, I remember going, looking at that, and it'd be like delivery 6 to 8 weeks. Remember that? You'd order a t-shirt or something like that by 6 to 8 weeks, and you're like, you know, when you're like 15 years old, that's an eternity, you know, because you want that t-shirt. You know, you're like, ugh. And then when it comes, you're like, hallelujah. But now it's kind of like, oh my goodness, if it's not like within 2 days or 3 days, it's like, oh, this is awful, terrible. I'm going to leave a 1 star. But it's perspective, isn't it? So, you know, if we just don't have this or whatever, you know, there's pickles on my hamburger. And so what happens is, again, we're judging whether God's faithful or not based on our viewpoint, right? Our perspective. And Adrian can attest to this, but I just remember being in Africa. And man, I'll tell you what, I was just, you know, being over there, it was kind of interesting. But then when you get back here, you're thinking, man, it's really nice to be here. You know, I got air conditioning and I got this and I got that. And then when I'm over there, I just get used to it. You know, not having air conditioning and triple degree weather and then water and everything else too. And then you don't realize how good you have it. And so we see so many people in the Bible where they lived their whole life from birth to death, did not see any promises of God and still counted him faithful. Amen. Under Hebrews, right? 11 and 12 chapter. The Hall of Faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11. And then we're, you know, you didn't have them for me. Yeah. They laughed at me when I said Jesus. Mm-hmm. Right? You know. People laughed at me in my Jesus hat. Oh, that's our biggie, right? But come on now. I mean, it is, right? Our perspective is, you know, we've seen people in the Old Testament, you know, slaves, didn't see anything, and they still believed that God was going to deliver them someday. And so that God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things in their heart's desire. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's body. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. And then here we go, verse 26. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. And I want to stop there for a moment. See, God doesn't leave us. We leave him. And there's a point where we just continue to, you know, shut him down. And then it goes on here too. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex, and instead of indulge in sex with each other, and the men having normal sexual relations with women, burned lust for each other. And then men did shameful things with other men. As a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Verse 28, since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God. It all begins with an understanding of who God is. He abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. And their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. And they invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. I want to stop here for a moment. You know, you watch TV lately, and I just over the last number of weeks, and I'm thinking, how do these people come up with these crazy concoction-like schemes? You ever notice that? You know? It's like, who in the world is coming up with this corrupt stuff? Right? I mean, I'm just looking at stuff on TV, and I'm on the news, and I'm thinking, who in the right man is going to sit around and go, you know what? We should do this. You know, this whole money laundering thing, this is kind of a good idea. We should do this. We should, you know, send it all to other countries and send it back, and then we'll create these social programs. And I mean, kind of an evil people are thinking about crazy stuff like that, right? Like, how do we? And also, too, you know, I always think about some of these people that are, you know, have a lot of money and everything else, too. It's like, how is your lifestyle any better? You know, if like, how, if you're worth several million dollars, how's 1 more million or 2 more million going to change your lifestyle? You know, but it all comes down to a lust and agreed. And it all begins what? Not acknowledging God and who He is. And it says verse 31, they refuse to understand, here we go, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. Man, this is all over the place, right? They know God's justice requires that those who do these deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them. But you see the pattern here, right? Pride in ourselves, you become fools, it leads to perversion and destruction. And it all begins with a pattern of pride. You know more than God. You know, we've got it all figured out. We don't know these things. You know, we don't need these things. Anyone notice a lot of the people too that are involved in these things are haters of God. I mean, they hate God. You mentioned it in everything else too. You know, separation of church and state. Okay, but that's not what that means. Sorry. You don't know the history at all. Back to Proverbs 3 here. We might try to close here. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 8. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. We just heard a testimony about that, right? What is it? Keeping His word and the knowledge of Him in our lives. And then we're going to see that our thinking is going to change. Our body's going to change, right? We're going to have strength. We're going to have favor. Verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then He will fill your barns with grain and your vats with overflow with good wine. My children, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset when He corrects you. I'm convinced this today, many people are not, they're mistaking being offended with conviction. Right? Too many people are, when the Holy Spirit, they feel conviction, that's offensive. Well, you know, you don't accept me the way I am, or, you know, you just need to accept me the way I am. No, maybe you need to humble yourself, right? And when conviction comes, maybe we need to repent and, I'm good at repenting. I'm good at repenting. Because I think like, oh, that hurt His heart, right? I just like, ugh, shouldn't have done that, right? Every day I'm like, Lord, maybe I shouldn't have taken the last of the half and half. I'm sorry, Lord. You know? The other day, Adrian made some things and we're like, because she made the girls some lunch and stuff and I grabbed the wrong one. She's like, that's for Emily. I'm like, so? Okay, I guess I'll have to put it back, right? But and it says, my child, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset when He corrects you. You know what? God, when the Lord corrects us, He loves us. And then verse 12, for the Lord corrects those He loves just as a father corrects a child in whom He delights. And you know, when the Lord speaks to me about things, I say, yeah, you need to tweak this, you need to do this, you need to do this. I'm like, thank you, Lord, because you're helping me come up to another level, right? Become closer with you. And let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and we'll close here. Maybe I should read this amplified and drag this out, right? There we go. Let's do that. Yeah, that sounds great. Now I got some gals over here. Oh, we'll read it all. We'll read the whole chapter. Yeah, that'd be great. I hope you brought your supper with you. I'm kidding. I'll read it in the New Living Translation, and then, you know, maybe we'll look at the King James, or the, not the King James, the Amplified. It says, verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Man, this is a good statement. You know what? When I read this stuff, I don't know about you, maybe I'm a geek or something like that, but when I read the Bible and I see one line, I'm like, oh, that's gold. Oh, man, that's choice. That's awesome. And I can just camp on one line for like, man, that's deep. You know? Maybe I'm not that, but some, but it used to be I just read through things and read through things, and now it's like I'll look on a one line and I'm thinking, man, that's so deep. Just one line, I'm like, whoa. You know? But let God transform you into the new person by changing the way you think. And, you know, I think the older I get, you know, when I start reaching my 30s here soon, but the older I get, the more I see, you know what? I really just need to let Him transform me. And one of my instructors at Rhema said it really good, talking about, and there was, a book we read, it was called The Discipline of the Christian Life. I think it was my Methodist minister or something, but it was really good. And I read that book. But then there's, his name was Marvin Yoder. He was Amish, so we always told him Amish jokes, you know. Different things, but it was always kind of funny. But he made a really good statement, because he was teaching a class one time, and he says, you know, it's like the Word of God is like a suntan bed. You know, you have to place yourself under the bed to get the rays, to get the impact. And that Word is like that. It's like we position ourselves so that He can change us. When we're praying in tongues, when we're doing things, Jude 20, but you beloved, praying the Holy Ghost, building up yourself in your most holy faith, we're positioning ourselves in that Holy Ghost tanning bed so that the rays and the impact of the Holy Spirit can impact us, right? Because how about you? I want to be better at business. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better husband. Don't say amen, Adrian. Don't say amen about that. Okay, I'm kidding. No. I know I need that. So we all need to come. But you know what? It's just getting the Word, getting Him. He is going to change us, right? And I think too many times we're, you know, we do have a part. There is a man part and there's a God part. But the more I'm convinced, it's just like rest in Him. Rest in Him. And as we rest in Him, oh, it's going to be so good. So again, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into the new person by changing the way you think. See, it all begins how we think, right? All begins how we think. You know, I don't know how many people I prayed for about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you know, the people who struggle the most, often, people who have too much stuff going up on their head, right? They're thinking about it too much. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be thinkers, because I want everybody should be thinkers. But what happens is their religious mindset clouds it and it blocks it, right? But if we come back here and we look at let Him change us, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Here we go, verse 3. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, this is Paul talking, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. This is a huge, we just read that in Proverbs as well, chapter 3. Two things. We're not acknowledging God, and when we don't acknowledge God and we get too arrogant, then we're going to get off and we can open ourselves up to all kinds of junk, right? Right here, the Apostle Paul is mimicking and actually reiterating some of the things in Proverbs chapter 3. And what does he say here? He says, don't think that you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. Measure yourselves, here we go, by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so is it with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. Adrian, would you read verse 3? Romans chapter 12, verse 3.
Grace, unmerited favor of God, given to me. I warn everyone among you not to estimate and think of himself more highly than he ought, not to have an exaggerated opinion of his own importance, but to rate his ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith apportioned by God to him.
It's good. That's good. And again, don't think you are better than you really are, right? I just remember sometimes, and you know, I always just joke, I like being I can't stand meetings. Okay? Like, I don't like meetings. You ever listen to like corporate jargon, you know? It's just, it's like their own language, you know? It's like, nobody talks like that, you know? You know, and we're here to boost morale, and you know, we're here to, you know, all this jargon, and you know, you like sit through things, and you're listening to meetings and things like that, and they're going on about how wonderful and how great you are, and you're like, that ain't it at all, right? You just listen to people, and you're thinking, this is not... Am I at the right place? You know, it just, there's not this accurate self-assessment. I'm sitting there going, this is definitely propaganda. But the Lord wants to come back and say, what is realistic here, right? What are we, let's accurately self-assess ourselves. And I said before, even when I was in sports, I knew my strengths and my weaknesses. And I knew that I wasn't going to go to the next level of sports because I wasn't developed in certain areas, right? I knew I didn't have the arm strength to go to major leagues. And I had an accurate self-assessment to go, I have all these qualities that are really good, but I don't have this. I'm not going to go anywhere past a certain level, right? So you have to sit back and reevaluate yourself like, you know what? I'm just not there, or I'm here, and this is my... And that's a strength to understand and say, God, I need help in this area, and you can help me. And God's like, yeah, you're right. I'm going to help you. And so sometimes we look at these, and I want to read last scripture, 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, for though we live in the world, we do not what? Wage war as the world does. Right? The world is focused on building their retirement. Nothing wrong with that, right? You know, going to this party, having this, you know, going, taking this trip. And those things aren't bad, but we are not of this world. There's two paths here. There, like Amy was talking about, you know, something I mentioned a while back. We are not on the same path as the world. That's why the world's going to say we're weird and crazy. But we are not. Because God is going to transform us by His Word and submitting ourselves to Him. Father, we thank You so much. 2026, Lord, we're going to grow and develop in the name of Jesus as a church. Lord, we're going to reach people, Lord Jesus. We're going to have a passion for people. But Lord, we thank You that You're changing us. That we are going from faith to faith, to glory to glory. And Lord, that You're accurately self-assessing ourselves, Lord Jesus. Lord, and Father, we can do all things through You, but Lord, we come before You tonight, and our faith is in You to change our situations, Lord God, and we can be a blessing and obedient to You, Lord, and we love You in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes.